Hi, this is Violet Lang. Welcome to my podcast, The Pleasure Path, all about love, dating, relationships, and femininity. I help successful, spiritual women find their pleasure and their power to create healthy partnership.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a really juicy and inspiring episode of The Pleasure Path. I am so delighted to be opening our minds and our hearts to how menopause can be a time of renewal and actually benefit your love life. And I have an amazing guest with me today, Joanne Panettan, who is really a wealth of inspiration and a wealth of information and knowledge. But one of the things I love most about Joanne is that she not only brings rigorous science, but a lot of compassion and such a passion for this moment in history where we're really reimagining what this transition can feel like and be like for the benefit of all of us. And Joanne is a functional medicine certified health coach and a midlife women's wellness educator. She helps women navigate the menopause transition with clarity, confidence, and evidence-based support. Her work focuses on reframing menopause not as a decline, but as a biological recalibration, a stage where emotional balance, self-assurance, and deeper connection often becomes more accessible. So, Joanne, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Violet. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're just going to dive in. We're just going to kick things off. So will you walk us through, first of all, how did you become passionate about this? How did you specialize in helping women thrive during menopause? And what's kind of wrong with what's out there in terms of the data?
Yeah, well, it's a reflection of kind of my own journey where when I wasn't feeling well and there was no apparent reason for why. And because I had maintained a fairly good health foundation for most of my life. And when I went to my doctor, they didn't really have any answers. So it really encouraged me to look deeper and to explore and to really, to really find information that I could use that could help me in a beneficial way. And I found there's a huge gap in women's health, and that's partly what has driven my passion is to try and close that gap. And in a way that's really focused on the female physiology, because most health information out there is actually based on male data. So women can be pursuing, nutrition, fitness advice that's really based on male physiology. So, and this becomes even more critical as we get into menopause and into postmenopause. So there's some very specific research that I've tapped into that really will support us on this journey.
That's just incredible. I mean, A, that you have the tenacity and the resourcefulness to find the data that supports women thriving through menopause. And it's also just crazy that, for centuries and beyond, we have been living without the proper insight to be able to really take care of our bodies and our brains. And I feel like we're in a stage where getting people access to the right information and community and support now is akin to the reproductive revolution with women's rights and women's health rights, hormonal rights that society went through in the 70s. It's like we are living until 90s and hopefully hundreds. And that means that there's way more of our life post-menopause than pre-menopause, and we need to have tools to support us that are actionable and customized. I think that's one of the things I also just really deeply appreciate about your work is that it is not a cookie cutter, one size fits all. You're helping people find their own truth, but with these guide rails or with these kind of wise points to help direct people to their truth.
Oh, and you make such a good point about Violet, about this time that we're in, and the fact that, I mean, the last time I checked, over half the world's population is women, and there's about 1.2 billion of us in that, either in the perimenopause or postmenopause phase. So it really is important at this time for a lot of women. And the whole period, this whole phase in our life arrives at a time when we're often, and that was my experience, you know, at the peak of our careers, the peak of, you know, family responsibilities. And then, you know, we're hit with this physical transition, well, and emotional transition, which is totally manageable. You just need the right tools for it. I mean, that if there's one message I want to impart is this message of optimism, the tools are out there, and it is totally manageable. We just need to step in and really take ownership of our health, because frankly, no one else is going to do that for us. And when you do that, you will, the human body is incredibly resilient. It will respond when you give it what it needs.
That's so inspiring. Thank you for that message of hope and structure, you know, that it is possible, and you've done it yourself and have helped others too. So let's talk about love life and menopause and this intersection, and walk us through some of your core ideas about how menopause can actually help your love life.
Yeah. So as you said, Violet, I work with women who are navigating, you know, what I would call the biggest biological transition of their lives, and that's menopause. And I think it's important, you know, for women to know that this, it's not a period of decline. As you said in the introduction, it's a period of, I refer to it as, it's a biological recalibration. And so what, in essence, what's happening is the body's really shifting gears. And when it's doing this, it's also creating space for more clarity, more confidence, and a deeper sense of self. And when these things start to change, your love life can change too, and often for the better. And so there's some interesting themes that have emerged from the research on menopause that show how midlife can actually enhance a woman's love life. And this research is drawn from qualitative studies, from interviews and focus groups, and some observational data. And the first theme that I find particularly interesting is this whole idea of that hormone stability supports emotional connection. And so what this means really is that once the monthly hormonal roller coaster, and this roller coaster can influence our mood, our energy, and our libido, once that settles, many women say they feel like, oh my God, I've stepped out of a fog. So women can feel, they can feel more grounded, more honest and direct, and more connected to what they want, you know, on three domains: physically, emotionally, and intimately. So there's this sense of emotional steadiness. So instead of being pulled and pushed by our monthly hormone fluctuations, we can start to feel more even. And women say, you know, I finally feel grounded. I feel like myself again. And this calmness creates space for connection. And this is where communication starts to flow. So there's less reactivity, can be more presence. Conversations feel easier, more productive. And then couples will report that they notice fewer emotional spikes. And because of this, these couples can become more emotionally available, you know, to each other as a result.
That is just huge. I mean, I think it's so liberating and empowering, if you're listening to this, to know if you're single, going through menopause doesn't actually mean it's going to be harder to find a partner. For those of you who haven't heard me say this on other episodes yet, I have worked with women in their 20s all the way to, my oldest client was 73 and, or is, well, at the time she was 73. Now I think she's probably in her early 80s. And I have found consistently that women in their 50s and 60s have a higher success rate with me than women in other age groups. And you know why? Is part of it is this, because there's so much truth and clarity, and there's more consistency. Not that we need to be the same person day in and day out, you know, a little variety in our personalities is helpful, but I've definitely seen this to be true with my clients. And then my clients that are in relationship who come to me for improved sexual connection or improved communication with their partner, I have also seen that the relationship gets better as women come through this portal. Now, with that said, coming through it with that stronger sense of self and with the right tools is also important. It's just like any transition. It's how you navigate the transition that makes all the difference. But I love what you said about that roller coaster evening out. And a bit of a roller coaster sometimes creates some polarity, like some sexual charge, but that can also really fray a relationship, really wear a relationship down. And it's hard for partners to develop trust when there's constantly like these emotional battles. So thank you for bringing that up as something to look forward to. And can you share a little bit without going into the detail of how, but the work, I'm assuming that the work that you do with women helps them navigate the transition so that they have less emotional spikes even during the transition of menopause, right? Like it's not just after menopause that this is a benefit, but that maybe through like the way that you coach people around eating or something, like, am I on the right track here that you help women stabilize their hormones as they're going through menopause?
And you're right to point out actually that it is kind of a holistic movement or process or rebirth. And the more we can tap into things like our natural, you know, circadian rhythm, which also dictates our hormone pulses, which can be affected by sort of what we eat and when we eat. So these are all sort of simple things you can do that will help you manage some of the, you know, some of the ups and downs. And quite frankly, a lot of this, the things that we can do as women don't require a doctor. You know, these are just some choices we can make that will help us along this journey.
I know this sounds so crazy, but ever since meeting you, many times throughout my day, or at least many times a week, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to work with Joanne because she's going to help me so much. Like it's going to become simpler on my food choices and all that. Not because you're telling me what to eat or not, but because of these ideas of like consistent blood sugar and when we eat and how late we eat and all of that. And so I'm actually already looking forward to menopause because I feel like it'll be a time where I can improve my health. And I love that you focus on women specifically because we are, you know, biologically made so differently. And I think because you focus on women, to me, there's like a focus then on confidence and authenticity versus trying to fit into someone else's mold and people please. And tell me about that. Like, how have you noticed that people going through menopause successfully are able to find more authenticity and more confidence?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that also comes out in the research around this theme around midlife confidence strengthens intimacy. So it's like it's sort of our confidence rediscovered, and it's where we feel more comfortable about owning our own desires and our own voice. So it brings about this. So what happens is it brings about this kind of this psychological shift, which is actually a kind of a mental clarity. It's this I know who I am now, is what women will say. And it's, as you said, it's many, you know, women feel less pressure to please others, and they actually do care more about honoring themselves. And meeting the expectation of others is no longer our priority. And when we do that, our identity becomes clearer. So our values become more sharply in focus. Our boundaries are strengthened. And we you know, we will assert our preferences more so than we did in the past. And so women will say, you know, here's what's working for me. Here's what doesn't. And here's what I like. Here's what I'd like to try. And those are all, I mean, that's a brilliant kind of transition that happens that really does support supports, you know, your love life and your ability to improve your intimacy. And you've probably seen this with boundaries in the work that you do, Violet, around, you know, making room for how stronger boundaries can make room for more healthier intimacy. And that when your needs and preferences and connection becomes more genuine and more satisfying.
Yeah, I've definitely seen women who are in partnerships that really weren't serving them get the courage, confidence, clarity, however you want to say it, to be like, this isn't working. Either we're going to therapy and things are getting better, or we're ending the relationship. Like, to be able to just really bring this sense of knowing that they deserve to be in something healthy. And in some ways, they'd rather be single than be in a relationship that's not working for them, or repeating a dating pattern that's not honoring their own unique needs. So I've seen a lot more women, just with dignity, owning what they need and want and making changes. And sometimes that's about dating differently. Sometimes it's about speaking their truth. I mean, I can't tell you how many of my clients who, some of them I met, you know, kind of right when they were starting. Well, I shouldn't say right when they're starting, because it can be quite a long journey, but I met them when they were in perimenopause. And then over the course of the year or two we worked together, they went through menopause. And a lot of those women made profound discoveries about patterns they didn't want to repeat anymore in their dating life. And they were able to actually enact that. They were able to attract a different sort of partner, or say no to a pattern that they didn't want to repeat. And as a coach, I remember just being like, this is so cool to hear a woman say, this is my truth. This is not what I'm doing anymore. And then that shows up in how you communicate about yourself, whether it's on a dating app or whether it's in partnership. So I've definitely seen a deeper appreciation from the masculine. This is for women who are dating men, but a deeper appreciation from the masculine for women who are just really standing boldly in their truth. They're like, oh my God, thank you for making it easier for me. Now I know what you need and what you want, and I can either step up or step out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. And I love hearing all your heartwarming stories of the clients that you've worked with as living proof that life can just get better.
Pleasure is a big focus of this podcast. And also, I think a big thing to rewrite the narrative is a culture, because a lot of, you know, ads I see on Facebook, or what people are worried about, is, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have sex again, or I'm never going to have pleasurable sex again. Or, you know, we talk a lot about negative symptoms like vaginal tissue atrophy or vaginal dryness, or there's just so much negativity. And I love that your focus is on improving and things even actually getting better. And I've seen that. I'm thinking of one of my clients who's in former clients, but she's in her 60s. And she was telling on a group call another client who was just starting in perimenopause, like, oh, I'm having the best sex of my life. Like, I'm having very juicy, hot sex. And don't believe what the media tells you. Like, it does not mean your sex life is over. And we were all just cheering and hooting and hollering on the call, because it felt so good to be reminded of this for those of us that haven't yet gone through menopause. So yeah, tell us more about how pleasure shifts through menopause.
Oh, fantastic. I love hearing that. And we must acknowledge, midlife, it can be a bit of a paradox. You know, back to the point about confidence can rise and it can fall, but it's still a regenerative process. And same with some of the physical symptoms. So as you pointed out, there are some women that sex can sometimes feel painful, but this can usually be about dryness or thinning tissue or decreased tissue elasticity. But the great news is all these things are highly treatable. I mean, there's the, you know, moisturizers, lubricant, pelvic floor therapy, Even, you know, hormone therapy, particularly vaginal estrogen, when appropriate, can make an enormous difference. So that stuff, you can take care of that. Absolutely no problem. And the rest of it is really, you know, it's just mindset. And I think the mindset around pleasure, it's this whole idea, and this is borne out by some of the research, that the pleasure becomes more, you know, multi-dimensional, I guess. So it's more emotional. Can be more sensory. It's more connected. And the best part is, I mean, this is the time you get to rewrite the entire script around pleasure based on who you are today. And this can be, this is a satisfying experience for both people in the relationship. And the other thing I like to talk about is the fact that desire, it doesn't disappear in midlife. It just evolves. And if you think of it like, it's not an on off switch. If you think of a light switch, it's more like the dimmer switch that's sometimes brighter and maybe sometimes not as bright. And that's because your hormones are shifting, sleep's changing, stress changes, and all of that can influence libido. But know this, desire does not vanish. I mean, it does. It simply changes shape. So, and for some women, they gravitate towards a more emotional closeness, more warmth, more connection. And then, I mean, some say it can actually lead to deeper, richer intimacy than they experienced in their 30s.
Yes. So. I'm actually not surprised by that just from my work with women, because I have seen a lot of women as they're in perimenopause and then menopause and beyond. There's kind of a new curiosity, right? Like I can't just expect a man to give me pleasure and, you know, bust out my vibrator every once in a while and just call it a day. It's like, well, my body's changing. So doesn't it deserve some curiosity and some exploration? Like not only do I maybe want to try some different lubricants or something like that, but, and not only do I feel more empowered now to speak my truth about my desires, like you were talking about earlier, but I've actually seen more clients be interested in areas like kink or fantasy, or just, it's like a, like you said, the fog lifts. It's kind of like this veil is removed and we're like, wow, there's a whole world out there. Like maybe I could explore different ways of running pleasure through my body or feeling pleasure in my body. I would consider myself perhaps just starting perimenopause. I'm not exactly sure because I'm breastfeeding, so my hormones are pretty different, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I will say that I have noticed, just for me, even over time, I've preferred a little less like, just give me the clitoral orgasm and like call it a day. And I've wanted more intimacy, more depth, more connection, more kink, more like, oh, let's try this thing. And it being kind of a joint effort as both of us to discover something new versus, can I give you pleasure and can you give me pleasure? And then like checking the box, right? Like less checking boxes and more about like, well, let's create a new map because the terrain is changing and that's exciting.
Yes. Oh, I love the way you put that. Creating a new map with this changing terrain. Yeah. And it's less about the specific goal, whether it's, let's get to the main event. Again, like you said, it's more about the full experience, which involves so much more. It can be more touch, more presence, more emotional closeness, trying some new things. I mean, it's just, and it can be, honoring our craving for more like slower intimacy. Mm-hmm. Like more tenderness. It's sort of what feels good. It changes. We look at it in a different way. I mean, even, you know, we can say to our partner, you know, can we go slower? It helps me feel more connected. And quite frankly, you know, most partners are grateful to know what works for you. That level of communication makes it a lot easier. And that increased emotional intimacy, it can actually be, you know, it becomes a turn on as well. I mean, there's just so much more to explore, as you mentioned.
I love what you said about the honest communication becoming more of a turn on, because I think That's true. It's a virtuous cycle instead of a vicious cycle. And I think sometimes we get really afraid, or at least, you know, the women I know get afraid of, like, oh, my sleep is changing, therefore I'm going into menopause, and therefore, like, it's all going downhill. And this whole conversation, if people take nothing away from this, other than this is a huge opportunity for renewal. And that means renewing and improving your love life, whether you're single or in partner. Because I don't want to get too law of attraction-y, but like, how we think about something influences the choices we make, and the choices we make influence the outcomes that we have. And I'll just share another quick client example is I have a client who's in her mid-50s now. And for about 2 years, she was dating a man in his late 20s. There was profound intimacy, better than any intimacy she's ever had in her entire life. And not just because he's in his 20s, obviously, and he has his own virility that he's bringing to the table, but also because she knows her body so well, and because she was able to break through a lot of these societal constraints about like who she should be with and what her body is capable of. And I think we're kind of leading into this in our next point, but he just could not get enough of how truthful she was and how willing she was to just share what works for her and what doesn't. And their relationship was really pivotal for both of them in changing their life trajectory and knowing what their bodies and hearts are capable of. So I also want to give that as an example of, you know, she met this partner when she was in her early 50s. And so life is beginning again, right? It's not, doesn't mean that it's over. It's like she had a whole new lease on life.
Yeah, I love that. Life is beginning again. That it's a great way to look at this entire transition. And again, the point about communication, it's like menopause is sort of it's a leverage or nudges women to get honest about what they need. And then when you're within a couple, and when you're talking openly, you know, things can get easier, and it strengthens your bond. And then the point you made about, this is where intimacy becomes, it's a team effort, right? It's a co-creation. So, and then in the research, couples had often reported that intimacy actually gets deeper and more meaningful. And here's the part that we don't talk about enough. It's the fact that men benefit too. I mean, this is really, really important. And men have reported that they feel more emotionally connected, more included, and more confident because the communication gets clearer. So, and this is where that men have a real meaningful role to play. And instead of approaching this transition with like fear, rather approach it with curiosity and inquiry. So, you know, when you approach it kind of with curiosity, everything can open up for you and for your partner. So, you know, men slow down, listen, and check in, for example, intimacy can be a more collaborative and more of a shared experience. When they show more emotional patience or presence, it can take pressure off their partner and it builds more trust. Or again, back to how they look at this transition as more of an evolution, it can help them create a safe space, a more loving space for their partner. And this is where, you know, new kinds of intimacy can flourish.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's reminding me of how, and I hesitate a little bit to make this parallel, because I think part of the reason that there's not enough emphasis and research about women's health during menopause is because we overly focus on birth. But I am going to actually give a birth metaphor, because, you know, I had two home births. Both of my births were at home, and Jason was a really helpful support there. But when I was in that liminal space, I knew exactly what I needed and wanted, how I did or didn't want to be touched. I was like, do this, do that. And there was no filter, right? I wasn't like, oh, I don't want to hurt his ego, or the feminine wouldn't say this, or, you know, whatever. Like, that was just completely raw and real. And I think if men looked at menopause as a life-giving portal that is a rebirth period for their relationship and for the woman that they love, they would show up kind of all hands on deck and a presence that's very different than like, oh, I don't know, she's going through that thing. Like, hope we can get through this. Like I think they would show up with so much intentionality and heart, and feeling that from your partner is liberating and expansive and allows you to move through whatever you're moving through with a real sense of trust. So I think it's like menopause, from what I'm hearing from you, is creates an ability to be more truthful and more open. And then men simultaneously in the best of all situations are showing up with more presence, more attunement, more curiosity. And so again, it's just this virtuous cycle that's going upward, that's supporting and uplifting the relationship and both partners. And so I just love this idea of all of society looking at it as the same sacredness, right? We put so much sacredness on birth. Why don't we put so much sacredness on menopause? And in some cultures they do. I mean, like I've heard that the word for menopause in Japanese, correct me if I'm wrong, it means something like second spring. Like it's thought of as like a wow, you know, that feeling of freshness in the springtime when everything is reborn. So anyway, I just had to give that metaphor about birthing.
Oh, I love that. I will have to quote you. I just love the life-giving portal. That is such a beautiful, just a beautiful way to frame the whole experience. With the couple, which is this, it's this shared turning point. A shared turning point to discover all that there is to discover.
Yeah. And even if you're not in a relationship, or regardless, I guess, of if you're in a relationship, I'm just realizing instead of woman as someone who gives life and therefore we're like focused on the life kind of at the expense of the woman, really, in a lot of kind of mothering age or reproductive age, all the focus is on the baby. And now it's like, we're not just giving life. We are the life. We're like giving life to ourselves. We're giving life to society. We're like taking off the shackles and the constraints. I'm getting the image of like a woman with a halo. It's like, she's giving birth to herself in this exalted new version of herself. And she's becoming the life that helps move society forward. And I think about like big movements in society, you know, women's rights and voting, reproductive rights, of course, like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but even the Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I don't know why that's coming up for me, but like those are women oftentimes whose children were in high school and therefore those women were going through menopause, right? Like gun rights. And there's just so many things that have happened in society where it's women of a certain age who are speaking and standing up and saying, I'm not just gonna, let this pass anymore. This shall not pass. And yeah, I just really feel like the pivotal role that women play in our society on the transition in and beyond menopause, and how this life-giving, life-affirming, also like no bullshit sort of energy is so needed.
Thank you, Violet, for sharing that life-affirming perspective, because that is what women do bring to the world, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and thank goodness, us as a society, but also like, if you're listening to this and you're an employer or, a manager or whoever, you can just think about how important it is that women get supported, not just supported because like we need help or something, but that as a society, we support one another in women seeing their own power in this transition and all the different aspects of life and all the different aspects of relationship. Because even just in this conversation, I'm thinking about my friends going through menopause, and I'm like, have a new level of love and respect for them just from hearing the things that you've shared and just from the dialogue that we're having.
Yeah. Yeah. And from your point around, you know, if someone listening is an employer, I mean, this is a huge talent base that you don't want to overlook. And again, there is so much that women have to offer at this stage in their life, both in their own personal lives, to their family, to in their work life. So it's important, really important, I think, to acknowledge it. And I think the other point is that around this menopause, creating space for all of this change is, yeah, as you know, I guess as obviously it comes at a time when there may be less, you know, creates more space in terms of our fewer day-to-day pressures around childcare and packed schedules and all this and constant multitasking. And this is the moment then for women to say, take a breath and say, okay, I can rediscover my own pleasure and my curiosity and connect more deeply with my partner and see where, you know, where we can take our relationship. So it creates a space, it's a journey of discovery. It's important. I think it becomes something that you choose. And Violet, the reason I thought of this was because you talked about this intentional choice on your fabulous podcast, the Can Sex Keep Getting Better in Long-Term Relationship? Oh, I mean, I just loved it. I'm going to actually link to it in my program. But it was around the choices that couples make, the intentions that they set, and having that intention that sex is an important part of their relationship. I think talked about it in terms of like it's a consciousness, a shared value, and then the effort that is required to make it work. I don't know. Can you say a little bit more about that? I just really enjoyed that podcast.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, the first thing I'm going to share before I get to that is you're reminding me of clients that I've worked with in their, late 40s through 50s and 60s. And the word that's coming to me is ritual. It's like the routines that they're able to create to sustain and nourish themselves versus redirecting all their energy to everyone else. And sometimes that ritual is like, oh, having time to like steep a nice tea in the morning, an herbal tea. I mean, I'm thinking of one of my clients who's gone through menopause, and at some point, kind of right around when she was starting she was in perimenopause, had been in perimenopause for a while, but she was moving more fully into menopause. And she wrote to me and texted me or something. And she said, you know, I have to thank you because you introduced me to these different herbal teas, because that's some of the work I do in some of my programs. And she said, I used to drink coffee every single day. And I also had an autoimmune disorder and other things going on. And believe it or not, even as my hormonal health is changing because of, you know, drinking nettles and oat straw and just very simple herbs, she's like, I'm not having caffeine anymore. And I think a lot of my autoimmune issue is actually caused by like the caffeine. And so this is just a really small example, but she completely changed her orientation to her day through like these simple three times a day, having this steeped herbal tea and finding the pleasure in that, right? It wasn't even about the function of it. It was about the ritual and connecting to the earth and doing something nourishing for her body. And so I think about other women, one of them who's really into ceramics and pottery, and she had the time to do ceramics and pottery because she felt connected to her boundaries and she set boundaries at work that allowed her to have more time to do her creative interests. I can hope as listeners, you're kind of seeing that this is a layering thing. It's a layering effect, all of these different themes that Joanne is talking about. And so I think when we change our orientation to time and our own personal value, we can start to find the rituals that really make us come alive and make us feel nourished and balanced. And then that creates pleasure that might not necessarily feel sexual, but that leads to more sensual and sexual pleasure. And I have had clients, and I'm thinking of myself as well, though I'm not in menopause now, but I've had clients talk about, I've rediscovered ways for me to have an energy orgasm, or, oh, I'm crying in tears of joy. I'm having an eyegasm, like broadening the idea of what is a pleasure or what is a gasm, you know?
Right.
Because a lot of that has just been defined by like the medical system based on men's arousal and, you know, their like version of blood flow and ejaculation. But we can run pleasure in so many different ways. Our bodies have more nerve endings for pleasure. And so I think to your point in that podcast, I'm talking about sex getting better over the long term in a relationship, but that also can mean in your relationship with yourself. And it doesn't have to be about orgasm. It can be, I'm going to orient my life towards nourishment and pleasure. And that means how I eat and how I live and how I spend my time and energy and the thoughts that I think about myself. And I think you shared at the beginning something around mindset. And I do think like healthy menopause is a mindset, right? Like all the things we've talked about. And then also knowing that you have the sovereignty, it's always been with you, but it's like a reawakening to the sovereignty to create a life of pleasure and to create a life that feels good for you. And even just that little pause of checking in and saying like, well, how do I want to feel today? Like, what's my intention versus, oh, I immediately wake up, I check my phone, I check the kids. Like I'm just off to the races, taking care of someone else is how a lot of women have lived their life. And what if instead we're like, oh no, like I journal before I go to bed and I set my intention for the next day. And I know that I'm going to, be wearing fabrics that feel good on my skin. I'm going to be eating at a regular rhythm to nourish my body. And, you know, in your program Thrive, you talk about and teach people all these different levers that they can pull to really optimize their health in an individual way to thrive through menopause. And because you have the unique opportunity, if you go through that program to create your own individualized health plan, you can set intentions about how you want your day to feel, how you want your energy to feel, like what your values are and what's important to you, and then align your lifestyle with these women's based guidance to support that. So it's like a completely new way of thinking about pleasure and sensuality.
Oh, Violet, you just said so many beautiful things there. The relationship with yourself and that whole idea of nourishing, you know, nourishing ourselves and feeling balanced. And when we do that, when we bring more to ourselves and we step in and support ourselves, we bring more to everyone else in our life that we love and care about. It's that simple. When we put ourselves first and give ourselves that kind of space and attention, then we just have more to share with everyone else. Mm-hmm. So I just think you said it so beautifully.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, one other thing I just want to layer in that we've kind of been hinting at is that relationships don't exist in a vacuum, right? Like who we are in relationship is based in part on our past experiences, our ancestry, and all the things that, you know, they experience. It's also based on the culture that we live in. And I love that the work that you're doing through your program Thrive and being on this podcast and all these other things, it's helping redefine women's health, women's bodies, women's pleasure in a way that uplifts and supports the possibility of greater love and connection, women to women, like supporting each other through this time, and also romantic relationship and all of that. So I think I just want to say explicitly, you know, you're helping redefine the cultural health and wellness system, which allows relationship to thrive, especially when people step into their power in these ways, like working with someone like a health coach and not just doing menopause the way you maybe saw your mother do it or the way that you've seen your friends do it. And maybe they didn't have the best experience, but that doesn't mean that that is how it could or should be for you or for anyone else. It's like a lot of the tools that you teach are simple, but so profound. And having the community that's doing it together helps not only implement those tools into your life, but helps you then spread the word to other women too, so that everyone can be having a better moment with menopause.
It really helps me even think more and more about this whole idea that is probably the crux of what we're talking about. When we talk about menopause, it's not an ending. It is a beginning. And there can be more pleasure than there was before. So this chapter, it's not about decline. It's about discovery. And if you can tap into that, there's so much waiting for you on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even baked into the word, I'm sure you've talked about this before, and I'm sure other people have talked about this before, but like this idea of pause, can you make it a sacred pause, right? Can you get the resources and support that you need to make it a life-changing, you know, a life-changing pause and not feel like you have to go through it alone? Like if anyone is listening and either scared because you're in perimenopause and you're like, wow, it's not getting any easier, or you're going through menopause now and you just know that you want to have this sort of vitality and pleasure and connection that Joanna's been talking about, then yeah, definitely reach out to Joanne, and I'll put her email and website in the show notes. But Joanne, can you tell us a little bit about your Thrive program and how we can reach you?
Real transformation doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in community. And that's really what I'm trying to create in this program I call Thrive, which is, you know, women who are either going through menopause or before or after, and they just really want to feel like themselves again. So it's more of a curated group experience. So we keep it small and intimate. And I bring together some of the education that, again, based specifically on female physiology, and some coaching and some connection. And I bring that all together with some practical tools that you can pretty much use right from day one. And then I also encourage women to step up and to truly own their own health, because that's where they're going to make, that's where the biggest difference is. We can discuss this topic and give hints as to what people can do. But I think when they're ready just to step in and own it, they will start to see results.
I'm just so excited. I'm so excited for the women taking this program. I definitely am going to be taking this program when the time is right. And like I said earlier, I'm already looking forward to menopause, which is just such a mindset shift in and of itself. And celebrating, like every day, I'm just celebrating the body that I have now and celebrating the body that I will have as I go through this journey of renewal. So yes, definitely reach out to Joanne and get more information about her program, Thrive, if you're listening and you're curious. And send this to anyone else that you know that's ready for a mindset shift around menopause.
And quite frankly, you know, Violet, I created the program because, you know, women, we deserve more attention. We deserve better care and some real tools that can get us through this time. I think it's a time of good health and love and relationships, and we can cultivate it. We can cultivate it all ourselves.
Yes. Heck yeah. Doesn't have to be waiting for the doctor's approval or waiting for your husband's approval or waiting to find the right partner on an app or whatever. It's like you can create the life that you want and thrive through this transition, especially with Joanne's help. Reach out to her about her program Thrive, and let's redefine what it means in this powerful portal. Thank you.
Thank you, Violet.
Thanks for tuning in and turning on for Healthy Love. Because better relationships mean more power, more creativity, and a better planet. If you want more love, pleasure, and power in your life, go to violetlang.com/talk